So on this second Sunday in this season of Lent, we arrive in the very center of the Gospel of Luke. We're only in chapter 9, but this is where the Gospel really begins to make sense. The first part of the ministry of Jesus up in Galilee was all about this question of, who is he? Who is this man who teaches with authority, who has this power to heal, to drive out demons? Who is this man? And just before this the section that we read, Jesus asked this question of the disciples. Who do the crowds say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And it's Peter that steps up and says, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And then Jesus begins to teach them for the first time about what that means, that he will suffer, that he will die, but on the third day he will be raised to new life. That, in its essence, is this gift of the gospel. And then to further reveal this, as he's praying, as he takes the disciples there on the side of the mountain, most likely Mount Hermon, where that event of the naming of Jesus took place. And suddenly, this transformation is complete. No longer is Jesus just there in his full humanity, but the full humanity is now transformed by his divinity underneath. And this glory that is there, this transformation that is possible, we're told in our other readings, for all of us. And that extraordinary unfolding of events as Peter is just bamboozled by all of this and just blabbers on as you know, I want to do at times too, and I don't know what to say or what's happening. It's a reminder of just that sometimes in our faith, things can be just a little bit too much for us, a bit beyond us. I think our other two readings really give an insight into how to make sense of what this transformation, this transfiguration of Jesus means for us. In our first reading, we encounter the person of Abram. So it's Genesis 15. We first hear of Abraham at the end of chapter 11. Then in chapter 12, he's told to go to this land that I will show you and settle there. And I will make you this promise. I will make you to be the father of a great nation. Abraham and Sarah are already super old. Like they're really quite old. And yet they go with this faithfulness. And they've been in the promised land for more than 20 years by the time Genesis 15 happens. And Abraham is starting to get a bit worried about this promise. Because how is this going to come about? How will he become the father of a great nation when he and Sarah still remain childless? And so God says to him, let's step outside, because sometimes we need to step outside to encounter what all this is happening. And then the Lord invites Abraham to look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. Now, we might imagine that this is happening at nighttime, right? That this is most likely where what this event is taking place. So this is in verse 5 of Genesis 15, but it's actually only in verse 12 that we're told that now the sun began to set. And then in verse 17, we're told that now it has gone dark. So when God tells Abraham to go step outside and to look up into the sky and count the stars if you can, it's the middle of day. And how many stars can he count at in the middle of the day? Just one, the sun. It's only the sun that is visible there. The other stars, are they still there? Yes, they're still there. But it's only in faith that you can see them. Only in faith that you're able to understand what is happening. And I think it's a great reminder for us that so often our lives are like that. You know, there is this obscurity. These things that we don't quite understand. We don't see things in the fullness. And yet sometimes it requires just stepping out in that blind faith. I love the fact that as Abraham is invited to make a covenant with the Lord, and he's told, you know, go slaughter these animals, lay their bodies out on two sides of the path. Abraham doesn't question, doesn't kind of ask, what on earth is that all about? He knows that that's the custom and traditions of making covenant in the ancient Near East. And so he just does this. And then later we're told that the Lord puts Abraham to sleep, this deep sleep. In fact, it's the same word that's used to describe when Adam, back in Genesis 2, requires that deep sleep to allow the Lord to do this creative work of bringing from his body the other half, the woman that he will draw from her, from Adam. And so this gift of God doing this work. And I think that sense that God is the one who's taking the initiative. God is the one who's simply inviting us to trust. Paul then tells us about this gift of what happens when everything is fulfilled at the end. This wonderful section in Philippians, when Paul often in Philippians kind of struggles for words because he's so caught up in the wonder of God's love, so caught up in that life, that promise that God is making to them. And he wants to, in some ways, die. He wants to go and to be with his Lord right away. But he knows he needs to stay. He knows he needs to be present to the people. He needs to continue to serve. And so there's this kind of struggle as he tries to find the right words. And often, like me, he can't find the right words in the moment. And yet he's calling us in this present moment to remember. Again, this is not our work. This is the work of God. That God will do this. God will transform these wretched bodies of ours. And sometimes we feel like that. Sometimes we feel that we're just so full of sin, so full of mistakes, so full of dysfunction, so full of things that we don't want our lives to be about. And yet Paul says, no, but God will do this work. God will, with the same power that he uses to subdue the universe, the same power that he used to raise Jesus from the dead, he will transform us. He will transfigure us and our lowly bodies into patterns of his glorious body. The transformation, this transfiguration that we celebrate on this second Sunday in Lent, is the promise that we are able to await. Just as Abraham was found righteous because he trusted in the Lord, so also we're invited to do the same, just to trust. Even when we can't see the answers, even when it's obscured from our eyes, even when it's just too much to believe in the promises that God continues to make, to trust in what we can know and to take one more step towards that path of faith, to offer ourselves and to open our hearts to this gift of God's love and God's grace. That's what this season of Lent is all about, this slow transformation as God longs to bring about within our bodies this incredible change, this gift of God being the one that's doing the work among us, God being the one that is able to change and transform our bodies. That's what we are offered. That's the promise that God continues to make to us during this season. Today, let's choose to make one more step closer to that path. Let's allow God's grace to call us and invite us into this transformation that he wants to make.